Begin the current daven, the Shabbos daven b'mches. Begin two lines up from the top of the Amud. The Gemara brings a story related to the topic of our parak, which talks about hatmana, of insulating something which increases the heat. That is aser even on Erev Shabbos to go ahead and be matmin b'dav ha-moisiv hevel on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara begins. Rabbi Reb Zera iklul b'Resh Galusa. Rabbi and Zera both were at the house of the Resh Galusa. He was the head of Klai Sol in Galus. Chazu lahu avdo da'anach kuzu d'maya apuma d'kumkuma. So they saw this slave, a servant of the Resh Galusa, that was putting a jug of water on top of the opening of the kettle. And that is, there was a hot water kettle that had hot water inside of it. And the jug was filled with cold water. He put it on top of the hot water kettle. So the Gemara says that Nizir Rabbi scolded him. He got upset at him. He screamed at him. So Reb Zera, what's the difference between that we learn later on in the Braisa, in this parak, that it's permitted to put a hot water kettle on top of a different hot water kettle? There should be the same thing. You're allowed to put something on top of a hot water kettle, although it's, so to speak, making it hot. So Rabbi said to him, no. There, when you're putting the hot water kettle on top of another hot water kettle, all you're doing is preserving the heat, because the upper hot the water kettle is also hot, and the bottom one is not making it hot, it's just maintaining it, that it shouldn't decrease. But here, where he's creating it, he's making that cold water on top hot, as we know that Tatogvar, the one that's in the bottom, is always the stronger one. Therefore, that would be prohibited. That would be considered as being moisiv hevel. It's making it hot. So the Gemara says that the incident goes on. That Hodr Chazi, the Paris, that stood there, apume de kubah. Then he saw later that this servant was putting a turban on the opening of the jug. The Anach Nat Le'eluyah, and he put a ladle on top of that turban, which was on top of the jug. So the Gemara is like, Nizri Rabbah. Again, Rabbah scolded him. He got upset at him. Only Abzeramai. Abzeramai said, well, why? What's going on? What did he do wrong? Well, he just put a turban on top of the opening of the jug. Amalei Hashtachaz says, now you're going to see why. L'soiv Chazi de Koma Atzerlei. At the end, he saw that he was squeezing out the turban. That is because he put the ladle on it, and so to speak, the turban got wet from the jug. So now he was squeezing it out from the water that got soaked up in it. So Amalei, Maish no min Parvanka. So Abzeramai asked him, but why is it prohibited initially to do this, to put a turban there on top of the jug and because it's going to get wet? Why is it different in the case of the rag? Which is, they used to have a certain bag of the rag that they would put to cover the barrels, which we say that you're allowed to cover it on Shabbos. Why here did you say that he's not allowed to put the turban because, and then you got upset at him because he's going to squeeze it out? In the case of the rag, we say that someone's not going to squeeze it out. So Malay, Hosam le kopit a little bit. There, by the case of the rag, the people, they don't care about it if it gets soaked with water, because that's what it's made for, and therefore no one's going to squeeze it out. Here, his turban, he is particular about it, he cares about it, and therefore I told you he's not allowed to do it because I knew that this is what's going to happen. He's going to go ahead and squeeze it out, and therefore that's prohibited, and that's why I got upset at him. Now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah that said, B'libetevin, and not all these other cases with straw and muchin, with flockings, all these things made out of cotton or these soft wool, those things also cannot be used if they're wet, because they're mice of hevel, they increase the heat, and therefore you cannot insulate with it, even on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara brings that they asked the following question, and through the conversation, our Mishnah will be introduced. They asked, muchin shetam ben, regarding these flockings, which are these soft materials, like for example cotton, that a person insulated with it on Erev Shabbos, which was mutter if it's dry. What is halacha? You let him move these flockings on Shabbos, and that is because these muchin are made only to be used to make things like felt, and they're muktzah, they're separate, they're for the malacha, for the work that's going to be done with it, and therefore it's usher to move regular muchin on Shabbos. But these which a person insulated with them to use it to maintain his heat on the food that he cooked, so the question is, do we say that it was designated for this insulating purposes, and therefore it has, so to speak, a halachic status of a vessel on it, because it's something that's going to be used for a purpose, for Shabbos purposes, and therefore you're allowed to move it, or maybe not? It's like things which you don't want to move because it's mukta, like machmas chesar and kiss, because it's something that's being used because I want to sell it, I don't want it to get ruined, and therefore it's considered set aside, and therefore no one usually moves it on Shabbos. So what is this halacha with this muchin? Although usually it is mukta, maybe here it's different because you designated that you're using it, so to speak, to insulate the pot, which is a Shabbos purpose that people are using. So Amalei responded to him, because this person didn't have a box of straw to use for hatmana, which is something that's insignificant, that people, it's very easy to use that, although it might get ruined, to use it for insulation purposes. So because of that, he stands up and he, so to speak, declares ownerless his box of muchin. And that is, it's very precious, these items. That's why people use it for making felt, for selling. And therefore, it's not the way for a person to go ahead and, so to speak, totally nullify it for the purpose of hatman. And that is, although he has to use it because he has nothing else, like something cheaper to use to insulate his kugel or his chalent, whatever it is. But he had to use it, but that doesn't mean that he's nullifying. He still wants to use it for selling, to making something expensive. And therefore, it is still muktzah, in spite of the fact that he designated and he used it for hatman, it still does not lose its status of muktzah. And that the Gemara says, we could have a riot to what he just said. Because we learned, we're allowed to insulate with the shearings of wool, and with the mats of combed wool, and with strips of purple wool, and with flockings. But and that these things you're not allowed to move. So now the Gemara thinks that what we're saying is as follows, that although we can use these things for insulating it, but in spite of that, you can't go ahead and move it on Shabbos. And that's exactly like he said, that although you can use it for insulating it, but it itself is still muktzah. And that the Gemara says, no, that's not a riot. Imishum ho lo yiria, because if that's not a proof, because hachikama, this is what it was saying over there. Im aloi taman behen, if you don't insulate with these mukhim, with these flockings, then im atal nois, and then you cannot move it, it's something that's muktzah. In other words, we're saying two different statements. The ratio is saying that you can use these things for insulating it because they're not moisevel, they don't increase the intensity of the heat. And the Sefer was saying that regular muchen, these regular flockings, these cotton, are muktzah. But those which are used for insulation, maybe that's like it was designated for that, and therefore, like even a rock, which is muktzah, but if you designate it to be a doorstop or whatever it is, it becomes ois muktzah, it's not muktzah anymore, and therefore, maybe it would be permitted, and therefore it's not a raya, he said that it's going to be muktzah. And that the Gemara brings, so then if that's the case, so what do you have to say? That of course it's going to be muktzah. It's regular muchen, which are machmas, like machmas chesar and kis. It's something which is set aside. We don't use these things. I want to make felt out of it. It's designated for selling purposes. So of course it's going to be muktzah. If you would say it's like what we said, that it's going to be even when it was insulated, and that's the chiddush, that although it was designated, still muktzah, that would make sense. But the way we're answering now, there's two different statements. What's the chiddush? That the Gemara says, ma'u detema chazi lemizgalayu kamash malan. That I would have thought to say that it's still fit to recline on, and that is, although, so to speak, people want to use it for something for business purposes, but still it's usable that you can recline it and not going to ruin it, and therefore it shouldn't be muktzah. And that the chiddush is that although it's, so to speak, usable, but it's still muktzah, and people are not going to use it for other purposes, and therefore it's going to be muktzah, but it's not telling us the extra chiddush of saying even when it's insulated, maybe when it's insulated, it would not be muktzah. So now the Gemara continues on this theme of muchen, of these flockings. Rav Chisda shori lahaduri udru lebeisadi b'shabbat. Rav Chisda permitted a person to put back the stuffings, which is the flockings, these so to speak, these cotton or whatever it is, to the pillow on Shabbos, because that's not considered tikkun mon, that's not considered, like, so to speak, fixing a vessel, which is asur on Shabbos. Here, just putting in the flockings is going to be mutter. And that the Gemara asks, is Rav Chonam bar Rav Chisda l'Rav Chisda matirin beis atzave b'shabbos? We learned that a person is allowed to untie the neck opening on Shabbos. For example, the cleaners, what they tend to do is that they the way they hang it and they close the neck opening, it's not, so to speak, permanent. It's just the way they do it for the cleaners. So that you're allowed to untie on Shabbos because you're not, so to speak, creating anything. You're just opening up like a safety pin. Avaloi poiskim, but one is not allowed to open. That is, you're not allowed to go ahead and create an opening on Shabbos because now you're making an article of clothing. Up until now, there was nowhere to put the neck. Now you're open and making an opening. That's usher because you're creating a vessel on Shabbos. The einois nisamuchin loyla techakar, and you're not allowed to put the flocking not into the mattress. For loyla techakesus b'yomtiv, and not into the pillow on yomtiv. The einzarach lem Shabbos, and you don't have to say that it would be us to do that on Shabbos. So therefore, we have explicit over here, which seems to contradict, and says that you're not allowed to put in the flocking into the pillow on yomtiv and Shabbos. And the Gemara says loy kasha. Ho bechadati, the case which said that it's going to be usur to put in the flocking into the pillow on Shabbos and Yantar, that's by anu. In other words, it was never yet put in. That would be usur because now you're making the pillow for the first time. Ho batika, the case of Rav Chisda said that's mutter. It's talking about an old pillow, and that is, it fell out. Now you're putting it back into the pillow. That's not a problem. That's mutter. As the Gemara brings, Tanya Hachi certainly relent in the Braisa. One is not allowed to go ahead and initially put in the flocking into the pillow, into the mattress on Yom Tov. Then Tzarech Lehem Shabbos, Yom Tov, say it's going to be us on Shabbos. However, Noshu, if they fell out, then you're allowed to go ahead and put it back on Shabbos. Then Tzarech Lehem Yom Tov, Yom Tov, say it's going to be permitted on Yom Tov, because again, you're not creating a keli, you're not considered tikkun mon. It already was a pillow, it just some of them came out. So now you're just putting it back in, but if it was never yet in, you just it only got the name pillow up until now, it was just a sheet. when you stuffed it, it became a pillow. That is usur to initially do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss what we mentioned before. Whoever creates an opening by the neck on Shabbos, he's chayav for a chatas. In other words, now, but when it was just a plain piece of so to speak, fabric, and he made a hole, now he could put it, his neck through it. So that's chayav chatas because he's creating a vessel now, and that's the malach of makom bepatish, which is the completion of any item. And that the Gemara asks, maskul Rav Kahana, we continue on to Amud Beis. We learned, ma ben zulam guvas chavas, he's asking, what is the difference between this case, of so to speak, making the hole in the garment, that you could have an opening for the neck, to the lid of a barrel? And that is, we learn on later on the Kuf Memvov, Amar Aleph, and Perik Chavash and Nishbro, that a person is allowed to bring a barrel and chop off the lid of the barrel with a sword, and that is, he can make an opening to the barrel, and he can put it in front of the guest. So there we see a lot of make an opening and make it accessible and usable, and here you're not allowed to go ahead and make an opening to make it accessible and usable. And that the Gemara says there's a fundamental difference between them. Omle Rava, zech chibur v'zeh ein chibur. The case of the choluk, of the garment, it's attached. It's one continuous piece of article of clothing. And therefore, since it's attached, you're creating something new. Thereby, the barrel, the lid is not attached. And that is, it's not from the barrel itself. And although it was, so to speak, attached to it, that's not considered a chibur, that it was one thing. And therefore, it was prepared to be taken off at some point. Whereas by the garment, the beged, there was totally woven into one piece. Creating that hole is creating a tikkun mon, it's creating another garment, and that's usur because of makom bepatish. Whereas the barrel, again, there was two distinct items, although it was glued together, whatever it is, that's not going to be a problem of creating of makom bepatish, of creating a tikkun mon, of creating a new keli. Now the Gemara brings related, so to speak, a contradiction between two different tanoic statements. Ramele Reb Yirmi Reb Zeri asked him as following. Tanan, on the one hand, we learn in the Mishnah as follows. Shalol shel kaifsin, regarding the loosely stitched garments of the laundress, and that is what they used to do. They used to sew different garments, one with the other, the big things and the small things, so that they shouldn't get lost, similar to like a sock bag that people have. They used to sew it together, and that it shouldn't get lost when they're washing it. And similarly, v'shal shelish shel mafteches, regarding a keychain, v'habeged shutaf b'klayim, and garments which are sewn together with klayim, and that is if you have two articles of clothing made out of wool that were sewn together with a stitch of linen, which makes a klayim. So all these items, definitely, they're ultimately going to be ripped and to be separated one from the other. The case of klayim, because it's the isra of klayim. Similarly, regarding this shalol shel kaifsim, the garments that the laundress stitched together, they're going to be separated. It's there only for the convenience of when they launder it that it shouldn't get lost. However, in spite of the fact that they're ultimately going to be separated, the Mishnah says, Chibur l'tama, they're considered attached for the halachas of tumah. That is, if one becomes tummy, the other one becomes tummy too, also, that we considered as together. Ad sheyasch lahat, until you begin to untie it. And that is, when you finally make an action, that will undo the action which made it together. And that is, once you begin to untie it, so you're revealing through your action that you don't want it to be considered as one anymore. However, the inference is that we see that even not during the moment of when the activity that it was created attached for is happening, it's still going to be considered attached until you actually start untying it. And that is, for example, the case of the loosely attached garments of the laundry, where you don't need it attached anymore. You only need it when you're actually laundering it. And still, in spite of that, we consider it attached even after it was laundered until we begin untying it. On that, Brimin will ask a contradiction from the following statement. We learn Makal Sha'asa Yad Lakardim, regarding a stick that was made to be used as a handle for an axe. And that is, but it wasn't established, it wasn't really part of the axe, it's just being used as the handle now. However, Chibul Tumah B'Shas Melocha is considered attached for the halachas of Tumah during when the Melocha is being done with it. In other words, when you're still using it as the handle for the axe, and that is in spite of the fact that if that piece of wood would be on its own, it would be considered what's called Pshute Kli Eitz, just a flat piece of wood, that's not Makabel Tumah, it's not susceptible to Tumah. Here, when we view it as, so to speak, as the handle of the axe, that there's a halacha regarding Yodos, that the handles of vessels are considered part of the vessel. And therefore, as the Gemara Chulin says, we review the handle as something which could be Mekabel Tumah because it's part of the act, which is Mekabel Tumah. So the inference is, B'shas Melochi in Shalei B'shas Melochaloi, that it says it's only considered as, so to speak, part of the act during when it's being used. But if it's not being used, then we don't view it as one with it. And it's not mekabel tumah. That seems to contradict what we said before regarding this loosely stitched garments, that it's considered attached even not during the melacha, even when you're not actively laundering it. So what's the pshat? Is something considered attached only b'shas the melacha, or even shalei b'shas the melacha, even not during the moment when you're going to go ahead and do the action? As long as, although both of these cases are going to ultimately be separated, but one seems to say that it's at all times until you actually undo it, and the other one says only when you're actually using it for the purpose of why you attached it. So the Gemara says, Amalei, he said to him, Hasam shalei b'shas melacha, adam asa lezarkei lebeina etzim. There by the case of the handle of the axe. The reason why it's only applicable during when you're actually using it, you're chopping down a tree or whatever it is because after the person does what he needed for the axe, that by attaching the hand to it, he's going to take this stick, and when he's done with it, he's going to throw it amongst the pieces of wood, and he's only going to save the cardam piece, the actual axe. But the wood is just going to junk it. Hacha shaloi b'shas malacha nami nichle. Here, even when it's not actively being laundered, he still prefers that they be attached. And that is the imitanfu hadimachavlehu, because if they so to speak get soiled by chance before it so to speak gets returned, then it's still going to be able to be easier to go ahead and clean it again because it's still attached. That's why he prefers that it still stays attached. Whereas again, by the handle, once he's done chopping down the tree, he's just going to junk it. It doesn't help him by being attached. What does it help? Whereas here, he wants it still to be attached because if it happens to get dirty, it's so much more easier that he doesn't have to reattach it. That's why until you actually untie it, it's still going to be mekabel tumah. It's going to be considered attached for that purpose. And in a similar vein, the Gemara brings a similar discussion. Then it says there were different versions of who said this following statement. In Surah, they said the following statement that we're going to say in the name of Rav Chisda. That this following statement, Man Tana Hai Milsed Amar Rabban, who is the Tana that said this following statement? That Kolam Chubra Loi Harehu Kamar, that whatever is attached to something has the same halachic status as it. As for example, the case of this Shalashal Kaifs and these assorted items that the laundress stitched together that we said that is considered attached, that is, it becomes Tame, even if the Tama doesn't touch it, it only touched the thing that it's attached to. And that is, if it wouldn't be attached, it would be tar. And that is, although it's touching the other sock or whatever it is, one keli cannot be mekabel tumah from another one, only from an avatumah. So therefore, if the sheretz, for example, touched one sock, although the other sock is touching that sock, if we didn't view it as one, it wouldn't be mekabel tumah, because the sheretz made the sock of rishon, and then that wouldn't make the other sock tumah. It's only because we see it as one, and because they're attached, that they're both being mekabel tumah from the sheretz. So who's the one that says that whatever is attached, we view it as it itself? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rav Remehi, that this is the Tana of Remeh. The Tana is learned in the following Mishnah. Beis HaPach, regarding the receptacle of a flask. Ubeis HaTavlin, the receptacle that holds the spices. Ubeis HaNer, and regarding the receptacle that holds the lamp, Shebekira, in the oven. And that is, this oven was a movable oven. And they had attached to it small little different compartments made out of cheres. And for example, the one of the Beis HaPach, the receptacle for the flask, had they used to put in a flask of oil in there that it, so to speak, should get warmed up. It should take the chill out of the oil. So the halacha is that all these different receptacles that are in the ear space of the oven, mitamed b'maga ve'im mitamed b'aver divrei meir. The Remeir says that they are mekabel tumah if it touches the oven, then these different receptacles will also become tummy. However, if the oven will become tummy because there's a tumah in its ear space, then these different compartments will not become tummy. That is, again, if the tumah falls into the ear space or of these compartments or to the ear space of the oven, and then it would not be metama one to the other. It's only if it touches one of the items, then the other thing will also become tummy. So if it touches, let's say, the one of the compartments, the whole oven will become tummy. If it touches the oven, then the compartments will also become tummy. But the ear space, we don't view them as one. Reb Shimon Tar, Reb Shimon argues, and he says that it's tar, and that he says even if it touches one, it will not make the other one that it didn't touch tumah. And that's because we view each one as separate. There's the oven and these compartments. However, what we see from this is that according to Remeir, we view it as attached, which is just like the case of the Shalosh al Kaifsin, and therefore he's the one that argues on Reb Shimon. He's the one that says that if anything that we view it as attached, it has the same halachic status. So although these compartments are really separate from the oven, since we view it as attached, it gets the same tumah, and it's not, so to speak, going in another, so to speak, step in the transfer. It will get the same tumah as the oven, and the oven will get the same tumah as them because they're attached. Now the Gemara discusses this machloikis. We understand the opinion of Reb Shimon that says that they're both tar, whether it goes into the ear space of one or touches the one, the other one will not become tamim, because we don't view it as, it's not the same thing, they're separate, that's compartments, that's the oven. But according to Meir, it's difficult. If we really view the compartments as connected, as one with the oven, so then even in the air space, it should also become tamay because of the kira, because of the oven. That if the oven becomes tamay from its air space, even without touching, the same thing should apply to the compartments because we view it as one. It's the same thing. And ilavka kira dama a little bit maganamilu tamay. And if we don't view it as really one as the oven, so even in the ear, then even if it touches one, the other one should not become tamay. To which the Gemara answers, lo olam lavka kira dama. In truth, really, it's not the same as the kira. It's not one, that's compartments. And although it's in the oven, it's not part of the oven. But Rabbanu de Gazibud, Rabbanu made a decree. And that is, they were concerned. They said, Midrabbanu, we view it as attached. And therefore, we view it as one, regarding that if it touches one, the other one becomes tummy. To which the Gemara asked, Igazibuhu, Afilabavanama tummy. If Rabbanu made a gezerin, they said, we view it as one. Midrabbanu, at least. So then, even the ear space, we should view it as one. That the Gemara says, Avdi Buhu Rabban Akir. Rabban made a distinguishing feature, one from the other, that there had to be something different. We couldn't view it as regular, so to speak, attached, as if it's one regarding the halachas of Tumah. That we shouldn't come to burn something that touched one or the other regarding the halachas of Truma Kachem. That is, we're not allowed to burn Truma Kachem. But if it becomes Tumah, then you have to burn it. However, here we're midai raisa, let's say if it goes into the ear space of one of the, let's say the kira, then the compartments, really, it's not considered tame. It's only midraban that we said we view it as one. And therefore, we have to say that it's different. We have to make a differentiation and say that, you know what, the ear space, it won't be mitama the other. Why? Because if we said it would be mitama the other, both in all circumstances, we would think that it has the regular biblical tumah as the kira, so too the compartments, we view it as one, and then we would burn the truma and the kachim, because that's what you have to do. But now that we made a difference, we say, hey, wait a second, why when it goes into the ear space, we say it's not tumah, only when it touches, then we say the other one is tumah, to say, oh, it's only midrabanan. And therefore, by the tumah midrabanan, we are what's called tailin. We, so to speak, put it in suspense. It's not going to be burnt, but it can't be eaten, and therefore it has to be disposed of in a different way, but you're not allowed to burn it. We made a hecker, we made a differentiation that people should realize that's not biblical tumah, it's only rabbinic tumah, and therefore people will not burn the truma and the kach. The Gemara continues on this theme about having things attached and considered as one regarding the halachas of tumah. Tanabun, we learned in the Braisa, Masparish al Parakim, regarding a scissor made out of two sections. That's how they're usually made, that's how the blades are connected, two different pieces of metal. V'izemel shal rehitni, and a carpenter's plane. Chibur l'tumah ve'in chibur l'azah, that they consider attached for the halachas of tumah, and that is if one of the pieces become tummy, the other one also becomes tummy. But they're not considered attached regarding hazah, regarding if you're doing the spraying, which is for the halacha of tummy, you have to spray the third and the seventh day on it. So you have to spray on each one. It's not enough to spray on one. Either way, that's challenging. If it's considered attached, then even regarding the spraying, if you spray one side, it should be enough for the other one. Because it's one item, you don't have to get every part of it. And ilav chibuhu afil tuminami line, if it's not really considered as one, so even for tumah, if one of them becomes tumah, the other one should not become tumah, because it, so to speak, goes on a lower level and it can't get it from Rishon, has to get it from the Yavah tumah, and it, so to speak, it's not considered one. So Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, in truth, Dvat Torah, Beshas Moloch Chibur, Bein Lutumah Bein Lazah. Minat Torah, at the time of when it's being used for its purpose, as we mentioned before, that when something is being used, during when it's being used, let's say the scissor, we view it as attached, both of halacha of tumah, if one becomes tumah, the other one does, and both regarding hazah, that if you spray one, the other one will also be included in that spray. Whereas, b'shalei b'shas malacha, in chibur lo tumah b'leza, but at the time when it's not being used for its purpose of work, then it's not considered attached, not for tumah, not for hazah. And then we continue on to the top of Mimtaz Amad Aleph. However, because Rabban al tumah shalei b'shas malacha, and the Rabban made a decree on the halacha status of this item, let's say the scissor, regarding its tumah at the time when it's not being used for its malacha, that it should be considered attached. And why? Mishum tumah shebishas malacha. Because if we say that if it touches one blade, the other one blade will not be, we might confuse that even when it's being used for your middle cutting and something of tumah touches one blade, you'll say, hey, well, that's one blade, but the other blade is not a problem. It's not true. At the time when it's being used for its malacha, they are one. And in the inverse, it was the same thing also. Regarding something being sprayed at the time when the malacha is being done with it, that we said that although now when it's being used, if you're spraying it, it really is one, we said midrabanan that it should not be considered as one. That's because because then we're going to say, hey, I remember that they sprayed it and one blade of a touch was enough for the other blade, But that was only when it was being used for malacha. And therefore we're concerned that we might even use it for a case when it's not being used for its malacha, when it's not one. And therefore, what comes out is that it's always going to be considered attached for the halacha of tumah, and whereas it's always going to be considered not attached for the halacha of azav, praying that is the rabban made a decree on both ways because of whether for when it's being used for malacha or not, and we made it more lachumra by both cases regarding tumah that it's always considered attached, and touching one blade will make the other one tumah, and whereas by hazah that the spraying that always it will be considered not attached, that spraying one will not help to as and it will need a new spraying for the other one.